Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, God.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not imagine I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to complete them. I tell you solemnly, till heaven and earth disappear, not one dot, not one little stroke shall disappear from the law until its purpose is achieved. Therefore, anyone who infringes even one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be considered the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps them and teaches them will be considered great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, if your virtue goes no deeper than that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. You have learned how it was said to our ancestors, 'You must not kill,' and if anyone does kill, he must answer for it before the court. But I say this to you, anyone who is angry with his brother will answer for it before the court. If a man calls his brother fool, he will answer for it before the Sanhedrin. And if a man calls him renegade, he will answer for it in hellfire. So then, if you are bringing your offering to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar. Go and be reconciled with your brother first, and then come back and present your offering. Come to terms with your opponent in good time, while you're still on the way to the court with him. Or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the officer, and you will be thrown into prison. I tell you solemnly, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard how it was said, 'You must not commit adultery.' But I say this to you, if a man looks at a woman lustfully, he has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye should cause you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it will do you less harm to lose one part of you than to have your whole body thrown into hell. And if your right hand should cause you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it will do you less harm to lose one part of you than to have your whole body go to hell. It has also been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a writ of dismissal. But I say this to you, everyone who divorces his wife, except for the case of fornication, makes her an adulteress. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you've learned how it was said to our ancestors, you must not break your oath, you must fulfill your oaths to the Lord. But I say this to you, do not swear oaths at all, either by heaven, since that is God's throne, or by the earth, since that is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, since that is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your own head either, since you cannot turn a single hair on it, white or clean. All you need to say is yes if you mean yes, no if you mean no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. This is the gospel of the Lord. I suppose if you were to read some of that out to people who didn't know the gospel, something to do with Islam. All this bit about tearing your eye out and throwing it away, cutting off your right hand. It's not really gentle Jesus meek and mild stuff. It talks of a fierce, almost ruthless concern for sanctity, holiness, which makes possible any sacrifice. And I think that, in moral terms, we're very near the heart of the gospel here. We have a pathetic optimism that our sanctification is going to happen easily, gently, and without too much effort. We should look at the signs of the times. mustard seed in the city of London. And remember what evil is like. And when we read in the Gospel today, you must not kill. But I say to you, anyone who is angry with his brother will answer before the court. Jesus applies the penalty for murder to anger. And which of us, with any honesty at all, could say that we can stand before holiness like that? And this is the gospel, the good news. In our anxiety to include others, we make all things relative. We backpedal on the themes of judgment so as to exalt the themes of mercy. This is a fashion, and the gospel is to be preached in and out of fashion, in and out of season. And isn't it marvelous that the church forces us to read the gospel from end to end, taking 3 whole years to make sure that we leave nothing out? Because if we were to choose the readings on Sunday morning, I can't help thinking this one might be put off till a little later, all the time. The holiness which is external, Jesus seems to be saying, it's not holiness at all. You can launder your behavior, your external behavior, with certain amounts of success. You can appear to be a pretty good sort if you're a careful editor of what you let out. But unless the work of holiness is beginning in the heart, it is all a sham. And Jesus isn't interested in the outside behavior, but in the heart. And we can ask ourselves, do you really believe that the heart can be changed? Or do you think the best we can do is to plaster over the worst, put on a cosmetic exterior for other people, trying to keep everything within which doesn't deserve to be let out? Or is there a real capacity for change in us? Is there anything that can turn the key to make us new? To be reborn, to be recreated? Or is this business of sin radically incurable? Always returning like incurable disease. Recrudescent, constantly. In the end, it will overcome us and win. It's a very, very vital question. And we answer it day by day. We answer it on the beat, as it were. There are people in society that are faced with it with awesome urgency. Think of an alcoholic who is in the power of evil because of his disease. Does he really believe that it can be cured? His belief in his future is a terrible question for him. The organizations that are there to help him tell him he can't be cured, but that he can exalt his will to the degree where he can govern what happens to him, that he will be a sick man forever. That's a terrible thing to come to terms with. But perhaps it will deliver him to this moment where he has to cut off his right hand, figuratively, in order to live, in order to fight for the world, to make sacrifices which are good because of the realization that he's been given to him. But we are all in this situation. Some of us are better at others at presenting front, But all of us have the same moral struggles within. We have to bring our lives to God. Because unless God is there, these kind of challenges will always defeat us. Because they demand that we become divine. And of this becoming divine, God has placed a sacrament in the world, in the coming of his Son. And we can only turn our hearts to life by receiving him. And that is what all this sacramental activity of the Church is about. To open our lives, poor and incapable as they are, to the real presence of Christ, the real power stretched out to us by a loving God. And that's why this is the good news. It is a bitter realization that we can't make ourselves sound by ourselves. It's painful and hard. And it's a terrible thing to have to accept that not everything that is possible for us is actually going to bring us life, that we have to make sacrifices. But hidden beneath these messages, which bring us to the brink of the grave, as they did Jesus, is the resurrection. That these demands, which are so hard for us to imagine, are a measure of the holiness which is promised to us, a measure of the goodness which God can create in us. And a tremendous impulse towards beginning the work of receiving Christ, of doing the work of prayer, of letting the grace of God engage the messy and disordered life which we all know that we are living. Let us